Welcome this morning. It's good to see all you beautiful people out there. Beautiful people made out of the dust. And the Lord breathed into the nostrils of Adam the life-giving spirit, and he became a living soul. Amen. Would you bow with me in prayer? Let's ask God's blessing over our time together. Father, thank you this morning for your word, the word become flesh, the word that dwelt among us. And we beheld your glory as that of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Father, lead us now by your Holy Spirit. As we open up your word, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be opened up to receive it, that it would be good ground that would yield much fruit, some 30, 60, and 100-fold to the praise of your glory. Thank you for this church. Thank you for those that are ministering right now in junior church and nursery. Thank you for the word that we received from Melody and the reminder, Lord, that you've called each one of us to ministry. And that the word worship, latruo in the Greek, literally means to serve. Ironically, Lord, we come to the book of Mark and Mark 10:45 that says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served or ministered unto, but to serve. And to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." God, deliver us from being a pew sitter, and help us, Lord, get involved in the work of ministry, knowing, God, that you created us to do works of righteousness for your glory. And Father, the book of James puts it so beautifully, that faith without works is dead. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to prove our faith, by our works, through our works, not to work out our salvation in the sense of earning it, but working out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it's you, God, that works in us both to will and to do your good pleasure. Bless us now, Lord, as we seek to be a blessing to you, not just hearers of the word, but doers as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you brought your Bibles with you? Would you let me see them? Very good. Excellent. In many Christian schools across America, in the morning before the service starts, young people raise their Bibles and they say something like this. See if I get it right. "I pledge allegiance to the Word of God. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against God or against thee." The pledge to the Bible. God's holy word, a wonderful thing that God has given us. I wonder if you have any appreciation for the wonder of the word of God in your language. This morning, we've taken a detour from starting the book of Mark. We haven't even opened up the cover of the book of Mark to look at the first verse yet, because I've believed that God was speaking to my own heart of the need to just take a step back and look at the Bible itself as the marvelous, amazing, wonderful, God-breathed book that he has given to us. So by way of review, I just want to share with you for a moment. We're looking at the English Bible, and our question this morning is our English Bible reliable? That's a very, very good question, because there are many people that are coming against the Bible, and as we see, if we get there, as we get that far today, people don't question the origin of Plato or Aristotle or Homer, but they do question the Bible. And the reason why they question the Word of God is because the Bible is the only book that claims to be the very words of God. And people who don't want to know the Word and don't want to hear it and don't want to be responsible for it will do all they can to extinguish it. And better men than you and I, down through the pages and annals of history, have tried to do just that. They've tried to destroy this book. And they've been unsuccessful. The Word of God is a bestseller. It still is. And in our language, we have many, many, many versions. And we're going to just take a moment to talk about the theology of bibliology. And last week, we talked a little bit about the whole scope of theology, the queen of the sciences. So many topics that we can't wrap our minds around it. It is so enormous a topic to think about the character of God, the nature of God, the whole idea of salvation and redemption. Eschatology, future things. Ecclesiology, the study of the church. Soteriology, the study of salvation. We could go on and on. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we ask the question, is our Bible reliable? To ask that question is really to take to task the authority and sovereignty of God Himself. Is God reliable to be able to give to us and impart to us over the centuries the Word of God? Well, the answer to that question, as far as I'm concerned, is yes. And we hold in our hands a living, breathing document. You say, what do you mean by that? The Bible says that it's a living thing. You say, well, how's that possible? It's just words on a page. But when we come to Christ and the Holy Spirit indwells our mind, when we read the Scripture, it comes alive. Many of you have experienced this, where either you're sitting here in a church just like this, or you're having a personal time of devotions. Somebody gives you a Bible verse. You're going through some difficulty, and whether it's on Facebook or an email or an actual letter, imagine anybody getting a letter today. Somebody says, I have a verse for you. I have a prescription for you that I believe is just what you need to hear. And somebody will give you a verse, and you'll read it, and you'll go, that is amazing. At this particular time, that individual had no idea what I needed, and yet that verse is exactly pinpointing what my need is for the day. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit through His Word that breathes into our lives and into our situations the very breath of God, just when we need it. So this is a privilege. It's a responsibility. I talked last week about being a young man, taking my Bible and hitting people with it as a young man, and how my mother and those in the church would come along and they'd say, don't do that. This is a holy book. And I told you how at my home that I'll lay my Bible down on the table, and sometimes I put other books on top of it, and I'll come over a little bit later and I'll notice that the books are replaced. And I know that it's not, you know, God that's doing that. It's my wife, God in my wife, that's doing that to remind me, Pete, this is a holy book. Nothing should be laid on top of it. You think, well, you're getting a little bit ridiculous. It's just a book. No, it's not. It is the very Word of God, and we need to hold it with respect because that's what God has called us to do. We talked last week about revelation, the doctrine of revelation, in natural revelation and special revelation. And without going through the details of that again, God has revealed Himself in His character through the natural revelation, through general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth showeth forth His handiwork. Day after day it utters speech. In other words, all of creation is talking to us and telling us there is a God. But interestingly enough, we need special revelation. We need the Word of God to give us the name. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. I asked this question years ago. I don't have it in my notes, so I probably am not going to get through what I planned today again. But here's what I believe the Spirit of God wants you to hear. I asked this question. If somebody in the darkest part of Africa, the darkest part of South America, in the jungles of the darkest place on this planet, never heard the name of Jesus, and they look up into the heavens and they say, I believe that there is a Creator. Whoever you are, I put my faith in you. Will that person be in heaven? The answer is no. And the reason for that is because there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. It's the person of Christ. It's the work of Christ. It is the death of Christ. It is the sacrifice of Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves people. Just believing in a God will not get you saved. You need to put your faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Where do we get that? From special revelation, from the Word of God. That's why you have translators that go into these dark, dark, deep jungles to translate the Word of God into their language so that they can see for themselves that Jesus Christ is indeed the Redeemer and Savior of the world. Let's talk a little bit more as we move on. We talk about the doctrine of inspiration. That's that God breathed His words, the very words of God. And listen, He didn't do this through dictation. Men didn't sit down and say, okay, and this little bubble appeared up above their head, and God just said, write this. Now, there are places in the Scripture, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John, where God indeed said, write this. But holy men of God, the Bible says, were moved of the Holy Spirit. They thought, I need to write this down. They sat down with their little quill pen and they wrote on papyri or on vellum scrolls, and they wrote what they thought was their heart, their words, their understanding, but they were writing the very words of God. Over 1600 years, 40 different authors wrote the same thing about God. That is a miracle. That is the doctrine of inspiration. God breathed, but holy men of God wrote. Do you realize that you hold the breath of God? That is an incredible thought, the very breath of God in your hands. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. What does inspiration mean? God breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. What a beautiful thought that is. As you read the Word of God, the Bible says that your light will dawn. Have you seen that in people? Sometimes you'll talk to them about something and they don't understand. And all of a sudden, as you're explaining it to them, light comes on in their eyes and dawning of understanding takes place. And that's what God is saying. When you read the Word of God and God takes the veil apart in your mind and in your heart, so that you can see and understand what it is that God's trying to say to you, all of a sudden the light comes on. And the dawning takes place, and you understand for the first time something that was completely foreign to you. It could have been a different language for that matter. That's why some of you, when you read the Word of God, and you say this statement, you say, I don't understand it. If you're a believer, the Bible says the Illuminator, the Holy Spirit, will give you understanding. And the more that you sit under the teaching of the Word of God, the more that you read the Word of God, the more that you will understand it. But if you continue week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, and you still say, I don't get it, I don't understand it, I need to ask you the question, do you know Christ? Because if you know Jesus, the Illuminator, the Holy Spirit, will open up your mind to be able to comprehend what is in the Scriptures. Now, I'm not saying that you're not saved if you don't understand Scripture, because I don't understand a lot of it. I am telling you that if it doesn't make any sense to you, if you're not drawn to it, if you have no appetite for it, you might ask yourself the question, am I saved? A saved person is drawn to the Word of God like you're drawn to the breakfast table, like you're drawn to the lunch table, like you're drawn to the dinner table. You would be unhealthy if you never ate a meal. If you don't partake of the Word of God, if you have no interest in reading the Word of God, if you don't understand the Word of God, you might ask yourself the question, do I know God? Because when you know God, God will illuminate your mind and your heart and your thinking to understand the very words of God. It is the breath of God, and the morning star will rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men. In other words, men didn't sit down and say, okay, inspire me. People aren't inspired today in the sense of that word. People don't get inspired today with the word of God in the sense of them writing new words of God in pages of Scripture. There is no longer any new revelation from God. The canon of Scripture is closed. So when we use the word, I was just so inspired by that. We don't mean it in the same way that this word is being used in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. Hopefully we're not saying, I was so inspired. God breathed into my mind the truth of God and I am speaking to you right now the very breath and words of God. Who would say that? Actually, there are a lot of people today in churches across America that are saying that very thing. I got a word from God last night. Oh, really? What did he say? The Bible says that in the Old Testament, if you gave a word and you said, this is the word of God, and you gave a prophecy for somebody, and you said, God told me to tell you this, and you say, he did. How did he do that? I believe that God spoke to my heart, and he told me to tell you this. And I've had people come up to me and say, prophecies? That this is going to happen to you in such and such a day and such a time, this is going to take place. And you know what? It never happened. You know what they did to those people in the Old Testament? They took them out and stoned them to death. So if somebody comes to you and says, God spoke to me and told me to tell you this, you need to be immediately wary of what they're saying and what they're coming from, where they're coming from. Because nobody today gets the very words of God that these men did when they wrote the Holy Scriptures. Do you understand that? Okay, go like this so I know that you're kind of with me. All right, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Well, is our English Bible reliable? We looked at the words last week. We believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. What that means essentially is that every word are the very words of God. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. Because most people, when they say that, they're talking about the original manuscripts. Well, we don't have original manuscripts today. There is no record of any original manuscript. What I mean by that is the writings of John, the writings of Paul, the writings of Peter, we don't have those original manuscripts. We have copies of copies of copies of the original. So we don't have the original, so that they might say, well, okay, we don't have the original manuscript, but we have the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. In the original languages, this is what God says, the very words of God. I'm going to go a step further. I believe that if God could have translated the original manuscripts, they call them autographs, and we have today many copies that we'll look at in another week or so, many, many copies of the original. I believe that God could have made it possible for those original manuscripts that are copied to be brought to us today without error. And I'll share that with you in just a moment. We believe that every word are the very words of God. And we're going to talk about Bible versions in a little bit. We believe that the canon of Scripture, the word canon simply means rule or ruler, reed, measurement, a fixed standard has been completed. And we read that basically in 397 at the Council of Carthage, the canon of Scripture is closed. There are no other books today that measure up to the 66 books that we have in our English Bible. This is where we left off last time. Is there new revelation today? And does God still speak today? Two very good questions, but two very different questions. First of all, I would say in answer to the first question, is there new revelation today? I guess I already answered it, didn't I? No, there is no new revelation from God today. There are no new scriptures written today. How do I know that? The book of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 20 through 22 says that the church has been built, past tense, on the Christ himself, who's the chief cornerstone, with the apostles and prophets being the foundation. Now, when you build a house, do you lay a foundation and then lay another foundation and then put another foundation down? There are people today that believe that there are prophets still today. There are people that believe today that there are apostles still today. But the Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, that foundation has been laid and we're building on that foundation today. So the apostles and prophets are no longer. We have no apostles today. We have no prophets today. And there are some churches, even Christian churches, that will say, no, Pastor Pete, we do. We still have apostles and prophets. And I tell you from Ephesians chapter 2, the Word of God says that is done as well. All right, here we go. Here's the second question. Does God still speak to us today? And I would say, no, He doesn't. Apart from His Word, God does not speak to us. But I would say, yes, He does speak to us by His Holy Spirit, only in congruence and in agreement with His Word. In other words, God will never tell you to lie. Because God is the truth. God will never tell you to commit adultery. Because God is holy and pure. God will never tell you to cheat or to steal or to murder. All the Ten Commandments that we've already been given speak to the character of God Himself. We're going to be singing a song at the end of this message. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Why is God holy? He is completely separate. He is completely other than anything we can relate to or understand. And so God speaks today, but He always speaks in agreement with His Word. Now here's where it gets really hard for us as believers. How do I know when God is speaking? God will never ask you to do anything apart from His Word. So when He's speaking to you and you think He's asking you to do something and you compare what you think He's saying with what the Scriptures say and they're two different things, you know that's not from God. Here's another thing that you can take as kind of an insight. Satan always speaks in generalities. The Holy Spirit always speaks in specifics. Have you ever had those moments where you said something and the moment it rolled off your tongue, there's like a voice in your head and your heart that said, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be looking at that. You shouldn't be going over there. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God, the Bible says that our spirit speaks with God's spirit and God's spirit speaks with our spirits. And that helps us know that we're children of God. So when God is speaking to you, you need to learn His voice. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Is God still speaking today? No. Not in Revelation. Yes, He does lead us by His Holy Spirit, but always in agreement with His Word. When we learn to follow the shepherd over time, we know Him by recognizing His voice. Among all the noise of the world outside, we seek to hear Him, understand Him, and know Him. There are going to be times that you're listening to somebody speak, and it may be on the radio, it may be a tape that somebody's given to you or a CD, and you're thinking to yourself, that doesn't sound right. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something not right. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is talking with your spirit, telling you that it's not lining up with Scripture. The plumb line of the Word of God, if it doesn't measure up, it falls short. You know how Satan works? He takes a lot of truth and he puts into it a little lie. A half truth equals a whole lie. So that's the way Satan works. He'll take a lot of truth and he'll just insert this little bit of a twist and he'll bend it and he'll say, like he said to Adam in the garden, has God said? No, God hasn't said that. You will not surely die. He first gets us to question the Word of God and then he gets us to question God Himself. The Word of God is our light. It is our safety net. It is what keeps us on the straight and narrow. I'd encourage you this morning to understand that God never speaks apart from His Word. You can put that test to anything. I really believe God is calling me to do this. He's asking me to do X, Y, and Z. And you can say to that person, with all respect, no, he's not. How do I know that? Because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. If God says A and you're saying B, the two are not the same thing. And you can say with all authority, God has not said that. He has not led you in that way because God would not have done that. There are people that do all kinds of things in God's name today, don't they? They kill people. They destroy. The church is the worst. You look back at the history of the Christian church and the Catholic church, and it's a horrible history of taking God's name in vain and attributing to God what God himself didn't say. And we write over the scriptures our impressions of what we believe God should be saying. So we submit our thinking to the Word of God instead of the Word of God to our thinking. I hope we cleared that up. The doctrine of illumination is so amazing that God speaks to us from His Word and by His Spirit. The Bible says that we're to test the Spirit to see if they are indeed of God. So God speaks to us by His Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through the pulpit. That's why I don't believe that you should be getting your church over the internet. Because there's something wonderful about the local church that God leads the pastor or whoever's speaking on that morning to speak directly to your heart. Can God do that through Joel Osteen on the internet? I suppose so, but I wouldn't go there. I'm not telling you that you can't get some good things, but I am saying to you that as a part of the body of Christ, the local church is where you get instruction and help for how you live the Christian life. You know, years ago, and I'm going to give this example, I gave it once before. When I was in Durham, North Carolina, we were visiting a family friend that I grew up with. My brother and I were going through Durham. And he knew the address. He stopped at the house. We went into the house. We greeted the family. And there was a young lady that was at work that was our next door neighbor. And I said, you know what? I really would like to surprise her. So just give me the instructions of how to get there. Give me the road map. And I'll just go in and I'll pop in and say hi. And I'll pick her up and bring her home. And they told me, well, go down this road and turn left and then turn right. And it's just so easy. You can't miss it. Well, even as a little boy, my instructors would tell me, you know, on my report card, Peter is a nice boy, but he doesn't follow instructions. And I'm sure that they were very simple, but I took a left when I should have taken a right. And before long, I was in downtown Durham, North Carolina. I was not in a good section of town. I didn't know the phone number. I didn't know the guy's last name. I looked it up and he was unlisted. I didn't know the address. I didn't know the section of town. I was completely at a loss. I don't know. I was like 25 or so. I actually sat in the car and cried. I couldn't figure out what to do. And out of desperation, I cried out to the Lord and I said, God, help me. Help me. I'm going to drive. And you tell me how to get there. And I'm just going to listen to you. And if you say left, I'll go, I promise, I'll go left. If you say right, I'll go right. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm just going to listen and I'm going to obey. I need to get to this place. Before cell phones. My brother didn't have a phone. I didn't know how to get there. And I started driving. And I take the left when I felt left, and I took the right when I felt right. About 15, 20 minutes later, I pulled up right in front of the house. Now, some of you, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, subconsciously, you just went back the way you came. It was a completely different way. Don't tell me God doesn't speak to me today. God speaks through His Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God that speaks to us. He leads us. We sing a song, He leadeth me. What does that mean if He doesn't speak to us? Thank you, Jesus. I would have still been in Durham, North Carolina, had it not been for the Holy Spirit. So God does speak, but He never speaks apart from His Word. And don't you dare, if I would have said, pulling up in front of that house. I am now anointed of God. If you want to know what God thinks, just come to me and I'll tell you, because I've got a lion. It is a complete direction between me and God. That's not what I said. Very humbly, I said, I don't know how I got here apart from God and the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God that He does minister to us through His Word, never apart from His Word. Listen to this verse. John 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, that's Jesus, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Where does that come from? From special revelation, the very words of God. How about John 15? But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. What are we saying here? We're saying that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all part of the communication of the Scriptures to our heart. What a great thought. So here's the question. Are there other Scriptures today? Some people, you may have a Bible that has the Apocrypha in it. You may have, may know some Muslims that look to the Quran or the Book of Mormon or the Pearl of Great Price or the Doctrine and Covenants or Science and Health and Key to the Scriptures. Any other gospel? Are there new gospels being written today? After what you just heard, am I a good teacher or what? There are no new gospels. There are no new revelations of the Word of God. You can tell your Mormon friend, with all respect, if there's a Mormon here, I don't hate Mormons. But there is no other gospel. The Quran is not the Word of God. The Apocrypha is not the Word of God. It may be found in the Catholic Bible, but it's not part of the canon of Scripture. 66 books. We read this in Galatians 1, 6, and 7. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. That is an interesting word. The word pervert means to turn away from, to pollute, to mix truth with lies. Isn't that what Satan does? A half-truth equals a whole lie. Galatians 1, 8, and 9. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. The Greek word is the word anathema. Let him be cursed. Anathema. It's a double curse. It's enough for God to say something once. But when He says it twice in the same verse, God's up to something. He's trying to tell us something. So I believe that Joseph Smith in Elmira, New York, possibly did indeed see an angel. The angel is an angel of light. I believe he could have seen Satan himself. Mormonism, good people, but not good enough. There is no one good, not one. We have altogether gone out of the way. There is no one good but God. We don't compare our goodness with each other. We compare our goodness with God. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, the goodness, the majesty, the purity, the holiness of God. And so when you say all roads lead to Rome, it doesn't matter if you're a Mormon, it doesn't matter if you're a Muslim, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian Scientist, we're all going to go to God because all roads lead to Rome. No, they don't. I can head out here on I-40 thinking I'm going to Rome. I'm not going to get there. We say, well, that's not the road. You said all roads lead to Rome. That is a stupid saying. Excuse me. All roads don't lead to Rome. And so all roads don't lead to God. What did I say in Acts chapter 4 verse 12 when we're bringing this to a conclusion? There is no other name under heaven, whereby men must be saved. It's the name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every name shall, knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what did we learn today? We learned that in bibliology and how we got our Bible, that it is a magnificent thing. Would you just hold your Bible for a moment? I'm not trying to be cute. You know what? We're so flippant with this. We just pick up our Bible, we throw it on the table when we get home. It usually remains unopened until the next Sunday. Oh yeah, my Bible. Open it. Start reading it. And watch it come alive. It is the very breath of God. You say, well, I don't have an appetite for the Word. I don't like reading the Bible. I don't understand it. Then maybe the question, the higher question that you should ask yourself is, do I know Jesus? Because those that know Christ, they may be uncomfortable with the Word. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And you know, you can open up the Word of God and light comes from the pages. Dawning comes from the pages. And if you don't want the light to be turned on because you'd rather be in darkness, I get that. I understand that. But the Bible says if you want to be in the light and walk in the light, you need to be in His Word. So some of us that have been a while since we've opened up our Bibles, I challenge you. I encourage you. I plead with you. If indeed you're saved, pick up your Bibles and open them up and see what God has to say to your heart. Father, I love you and I thank you for your Word in the English language. Lord, bless these, your people, as we open up your Scriptures, as we hear your heart, as we understand your mind. Lord, as we get your character. Lord, you said, be holy as you are holy. So, Father, would you forgive us this morning for this past week where things that we did, things that we said, things that we didn't do or should have said. Lord, the things that we looked at, the things that we read, the things that Lord, came from our hearts. You said it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out. So, Lord God, as we approach this table, we come with expectancy. We come with humility. We come in worship. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Thank you, God, for general revelation. But thank you, God, even more for special revelation, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to accomplish now during this time of praise and worship. Lord, we give it all to you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. Holy, holy, holy. God, thank you for what you're going to accomplish now. In Jesus' name, set the captives free, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.